Matthew chapter 6. These last 6 months or so, I've had some of the greatest highlights of my life. The tent meeting was one of the greatest highlights of my life. The greatest week of my life happened this year, and I don't know what I'm going to say about what happened for this one, but it was at Ambassador Baptist College, and I don't think I'm going to talk about that tonight. I may wait for Wednesday. Another highlight of this year was we were in Arizona for a meeting, and sometimes we're a little crazy with our traveling and scheduling and things. And one Sunday morning, we had an open Sunday, and we drove. We got up about, maybe midnight or 2 o'clock or so. We drove for 7+ hours to Mesquite, Nevada, to make it for their service at 10:30. And, you know, I'm thinking, why would you drive all the way out to Mesquite, Nevada? Now, how many of you know where Mesquite, Nevada is at? All right, a couple of us. Mesquite, Nevada is, you have to go there on purpose. And it's on the near the border of Arizona and Colorado, Utah, Utah, and it's about, an hour and a half, 2 hours east of Las Vegas. And it's a couple of years ago when Megan and I were praying about breaking off her job. Many of you remember that she worked a job for many years, and so she wasn't able to travel with me all the time. Since then, since we broke off that job, she's been with me to everything I've gone to, except for Master's Men's Meeting. But other than that, she's been with me at everything, and I'm thankful for that. And at the time when we were breaking off the job, we met this couple, the Quintons, and we were filling in for the pastor who was gone at the church that where they're at in Pleasanton, and he introduced himself as the pastor. And he says, "Hi, I'm Pastor Bryson." I said, "No, you're not. I know who Pastor Bryson is," and he's just joking with me. And he says, "Yeah, you're right." He says, "My name's Billy Quinton." He says, "Tonight my wife and I are going to take you out to eat after the service." And I said, "Okay." And he says, "I'm thinking about going to Sonic. That way you'll stay in your car and we'll stay in ours." And I'm thinking, where did this guy come from? You know, he's joking around with me, and he's the jokester in the church. And so he doesn't take us to Sonic. He takes us to a restaurant. But we get in the car, and he says, "This morning when you preached, I told my wife, this is it. This is the couple we've been praying for right here." And he says, "And then you preached tonight," and I thought, "Nope, you're not the couple we're praying for." And I'm thinking, what did I do this morning that was different tonight, you know? And he said, "I've been praying for a couple of years that God would send someone to Mesquite, Nevada to start a church." And he says, "You started talking about God's call in your life to be an evangelist and traveling around and things." And he says, I thought, "Nope, this isn't the guy." And so he starts telling me his testimony. I may have shared some of this with you before, but he says, "I got saved when I was 27 years old. He immediately just got plugged into church, just going great, and involved in bus ministries and things." And he says, "And then I got what people call burned." And he says, "I quit. I gave up." He says, "Tim, I was out of church for over 20 years. I started searching for a church online. I found this church online, started listening to Pastor Bryson's messages." And he says, "Now we've been here for over 6 years. And he says, "Tim, it's so good to have a pastor again. You know, people need a pastor. It's not just the same to listen to things on service online and things. You need a pastor." And he says, "It's so good to have a pastor again." And this man, Mike Quinton, he's a retired fire captain, and he was 71 years old, I believe, at the time. And so he's telling me his story, and he says, 2 years ago I retired, and he says, "I was sitting in a rocking chair doing a crossword puzzle, and he says, I thought, you know what, God, you want more out of my life than this." And so he began to volunteer his time at the church. So every day he's at the church fixing things. Then he became part of Pastors 100 Club. And I said, "Well, what's that?" And he says, "That's where you knock on 100 doors a week." And I'm like, "Wow, okay." And so he's out, you know, every week knocking on doors. And then he started teaching a Sunday school class, and just a popular Sunday school teacher at the church. They love him. And so he's telling me all these things. And he says, "Yeah, when we go on vacation, we always drive through Mesquite, Nevada. And I've just been burdened for that town that somebody needs to start a church there in Mesquite, Nevada. And so as he's telling about all of this, I'm sitting in this passenger seat, and I thought, God, I know you don't want me, but I think you might want him. Now, he's never pastored before. I don't think he's ever been to Bible college. 71 years old. And as he's beginning to tell his story and his burden that he has and how he's been praying for several years, he says, Tim, 6 months ago, I woke up in the middle of the night and I said, okay, God, I'll go. I'll do it. He says, Tim, when I surrendered to the Lord for that, there was such a peace that just came over me. Wife 100% behind him. There's nothing that drives him to Mesquite, Nevada as far as like family. He's got a son in Florida, another son in Palm Springs. So grandkids, children, there's nothing there in Mesquite, Nevada other than God's call. And he says, Tim, we're leaving in 2 weeks. He says, we just sold our house. And he says, we sold our house to a Korean couple who used to come to our church, but they left our church because they wanted to start a Korean Baptist church. He says, Tim, they're going to start that church in our house. And he begins to cry. And he says, God's even going to use our house. Financially, he's fine. He's there in that area and things. He's fine. Doesn't need to raise support or anything like that. But he doesn't have the prayer support that maybe a missionary would have. And so they're there now. And they were celebrating their second anniversary. And so I thought, Megan, you know what? Let's try it. Let's try to do this. Let's drive the 7-plus hours up there. And so we surprised them. And they had several visitors there that day. They probably had maybe 40, 50 people or so. And the West Coast group was there. They had a singing group and Toby Weaver. And it was just a blessing being there and seeing that. When I walked into that church or that storefront, that's the church, I thought, this is a miracle. I mean, he just turned a few weeks ago 74 years old. Now, I've read about people that have surrendered their life to the Lord, called to preach, you know, even later on in life, but I've never met anybody. And we were challenged by their faith. When we first met that couple of years ago, he emailed me the next day and he says, we were so challenged by your guys' faith in breaking off Megan's job. And I said, no, we're challenged by your faith. Because at a time when things should be settled, retirement, everything was uprooted. And now they're there at Mesquite, Nevada. He told me that that they bought burial plots there. He says, we're in it till death. He had a minor heart attack this past year. His heart's working at 30%. He says, at any moment could be my last. But he says, I don't want to waste the rest of the time that God's given me. I want to live it for him. And what a testimony of God using his life. And just as Megan and I sang that song, God, all I am, all I have, take my passions, take my skills, take everything I have, God. You use it for your glory. And certainly God is doing that there in Mesquite, Nevada. And if you think about it, pray for Mike and Janine Quinton and that God would continue to use them. They are looking for a pastor, someone that can take their place. And so that's a prayer request that they have. And I just feel burdened to share that with churches so that you pray for him, because he doesn't have the prayer support that maybe a regular missionary would have. And so Mike and Janine Quinton, Mesquite, Nevada, Mesquite Baptist Church, and I'm thankful for how God's using them there. Well, we're in Matthew chapter 6, and look at verse number 5. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 5. And I'm going to pray before we read the scriptures. Father, I thank you for the privilege that we have to come before you tonight. I thank you, Lord, for a Sunday night service. Lord, it was a Sunday night service that I came to know thee as Savior. It was a Sunday night service that I surrendered my life to you. It was a Sunday night service that I surrendered the call to be an evangelist. Lord, it was a Sunday night service I preached my first message. Lord, you have changed my life time and again through Sunday night services. And I ask, Lord, that this night, as you have gathered us here for this service, for this time, for this passage of Scripture, that you would do a life-changing work in our hearts. Lord, the disciples asked you to teach them to pray. And Lord, I ask that you would teach us to pray. Lord, we want to know how to pray. We want to be able to pray better. But Lord, just teach us to pray. And as the missionary prayed, Lord, take this day so far out of my hands that I have to trust you, that I have to pray. Lord, would you take our days, our lives, so far out of our hands that we have to trust you, that we have to pray. Lord, you said that your house is to be a house of prayer. Lord, may we be a people of prayer. Lord, may you teach us some things tonight, and may we increase in this matter of prayer. May you take us through the school of prayer, and Lord, strengthen us in this area in a great way. Lord, for your honor, for your glory, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray. Do you love to pray? The hypocrites love to pray. It would be good that Christians would love to pray, that there would be a passion in your heart to pray. I believe we get attacked in this matter of our prayer life and the different spiritual disciplines and things that we should have in our lives. I believe we get attacked in prayer more than any other area. And this is, when we get to praying, there's all kinds of things that will want to distract us from it. And yet the hypocrites, it says here, they love to pray. Do you love to pray? But look how they have this prayer. It says they're standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. If you don't love to pray, then you're worse off than the hypocrites. Now Jesus wasn't condemning their posture of prayer. It's okay to stand and pray. He wasn't condemning their place of prayer. It's okay to pray in the synagogue. It's okay to pray in the streets. He wasn't condemning the public prayer. Some people might think, well, I just need to pray in private, and that's good, but we can pray in public. He wasn't condemning their phrases of prayer or even the portion of prayer. What was Jesus condemning? Their purpose in prayer. Why were they praying? That they may be seen of men. You see, love identifies with their affection and passion. And what we love to do, we will do. We'll make time for it. We'll make it a priority. They had a passion to pray. Jesus was aware that the hypocrites were praying. He knew when, he knew who, where, why they prayed. But nothing is said about what they prayed, because Christ didn't hear it. They had pride in their hearts. Does Jesus hear you pray? A lot of times we pray, and as James chapter 3 tells us that we ask amiss. James chapter 4 verse 3 says we ask amiss that we may consume it upon our lust. We ask selfishly, and we have selfish prayers. And so we don't see the prayers answered because we pray selfishly. Does Jesus hear you pray? Now, if you don't love to pray, it's going to be laborious. It's going to be difficult to pray. And there's times, I don't love to pray. there's times it's hard. It's not so much out of desire as much as out of discipline or duty sometimes. But here they loved to pray even though they had no realness. They loved to pray even though they had no righteousness. They loved to pray even though they had no relationship. They loved to pray even though they had no response from God. They loved to pray even though they had wrong reasons. We should love to pray because of the presence of God. We should love to pray because of the perception of God. We should love to pray because of the promises of God. But the hypocrites, they loved to pray, but their prayers were prideful and selfish. And so God's going to contrast the hypocrites to verse number 6. So don't be as verse number 5, but this is how God wants us to pray. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You see, a person that loves to pray, the right kind of Christian that loves to pray, is going to make prayer a priority. They're going to set aside a time. You see, Jesus says, when thou prayest, there ought to be a time in your day that you spend praying. Now, you don't need to spend several hours in prayer. That's a marathon to try to do that sometimes. But just even 15 minutes could change your whole life. If you just shut everything off, shut everything out, and you made it that priority, I'm going to spend these 15 minutes with God, it could change your life. Martin Luther said, I have so much to do today that I shall spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Again, praying that long is a marathon, but you can work up to that. I'm not discouraging that in any ways. But Psalm 5 verse 3 says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. You see, in this matter of a time of when we're supposed to pray, we need to make it a priority. Put it in the first part of your day. Seek Him in the morning. I love this poem by Ralph Cushman. I met God in the morning when my day was at its best, and His presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long the presence lingered. All day long He stayed with me, and we sailed with perfect calmness o'er a troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered. Other ships were sore distressed. But the winds that seemed to drive them brought to us a peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a keen remorse of mind, when I too had loosed the moorings with the presence left behind. So I think I know the secret, learned from many a troubled way. You must seek God in the morning if you want Him through the day. You need to seek God first in your life. Put Him as a priority. Seek Him in the morning. And again, you just 15 minutes, set that aside. Open up the Scriptures. Ask God to speak to your heart. And then what He's spoken to you about, you speak to Him about. You can read the Psalms or read the Proverbs, and maybe there's a verse that jumps out to me. I'll immediately just start talking to the Lord about it, because He just talked to me about it. And it's a conversation. You see, prayer is not just one way. It's both ways. It's a conversation that we have with the Lord. It's fellowship. It's communion. Philippians 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we need to be a people of prayer. Psalm 42 and verse 1, as the heart of the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? How is your thirst for God tonight? How's your passion to meet with God each day in devotions? Do you find yourself becoming cold and callous? I'm concerned right now. I haven't been into a lot of churches, it seems, since COVID, but I'm concerned that we're losing it in the matter of prayer. This time, and even all the things that have happened with our government and the election and all of that, it's like it's just been a sock in the stomach, but it hasn't driven us to our knees. Are we praying more now than we were last year? Are we seeking God more now? This could be the greatest year you've ever had in your prayer life. God may, things that God wants to do through your prayer life. I'm not talking about mine or Pastor Blankenship's. I'm talking about your prayer life. This may be the greatest year of your prayer life. God wants to do some great things through you. You need to make it a priority. Put it as a priority in your life. Seek God first. Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Oh, how's your thirst and your passion for God? Let God revive that. I mean, there's times I grow cold and calloused. I'm not always on fire. There's times I don't want to come to church. Megan knows that. I was thinking about that. I may have already shared this with you before, too. But the story of the mother saying to her son, you know, son, you need to come to church. You need to get ready. You need to get to church. And he says, I don't want to go to church. She says, you need to go. You need to be there. And he says, but they don't like me there. She says, well, you need to come. You know, they don't talk to me. Well, you need to be there. And he's like, Mom, why do I have to go? Because you're the pastor. That's why. Sometimes even preachers, it's hard to keep going and things. I'm very blessed. I'm in more services than most people, and I'm very blessed in that. But sometimes my heart grows cold and calloused, and I don't have a desire. I need God to revive me out of that. I need to get back to that place of prayer and pour out my heart unto Him. Maybe you're here tonight and you find yourself growing cold and calloused. We'll have an invitation time tonight, but really the application of this message is to get home and get alone with God. get alone with Him tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and seek His face and have that passion for Him once again. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. How is your passion to pray? How is your passion for God? He says, when thou prayest, make this time a priority, but then make it a pattern. This should be something you do every single day. Do people know that you pray? Psalms 86 and verse 3, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Daniel had that testimony. Morning, noon, and night, he was praying. Do you have that pattern to pray? And by the way, I'd encourage you, don't just seek God in the morning. Seek Him throughout the day. Seek Him all, you know, even at night. I was thinking about that Psalm 1. I read Psalm 1 this morning. You know, meditation, day and night. There's some truth to this. There's a great spiritual growth we can have when we meditate on God's Word, not only in the morning, but meditating on it at night. And so make it a pattern in your life. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Our prayer lives ought to have others on there. It's not just about you. Now, you got some needs. You got some things. Yeah, pray those to the Lord. But then there's some other people that need to be on your prayer list. Somebody that needs to be on your everyday prayer list is Pastor Blankenship. Pastor and Mrs. Blankenship ought to be on your everyday prayer list. You have no idea what a pastor goes through and the struggles and the trials and how difficult things can be. And he needs your prayers. You are the best one to pray for him. You know him better than any other congregation. And so you know how to pray for him. And so I'd encourage you, put him on your everyday prayer list. There's people here in the church that you should be praying for. And all, when you start praying for someone, it changes you. I remember there was a guy in school when I was a teenager that just, man, he pushed all the right buttons for me to get upset. And I'm really calm by nature, but nobody could annoy me like this guy, Steve. And he annoyed me. And I really struggled with this. And so one of the things of Steve is that he wouldn't take showers. He stunk. I mean, you smelled him before you saw him. And it was bad. And a lot of people talked to him about that. And I remember he took, most of you know I'm a big Royals fan, Kansas City Royals fan, baseball. And I had this jacket that was like my favorite jacket. One time he took that thing and he wore it. He grabbed it off my chair, put it on. I'm like, oh man, the BO, all of that in that jacket. I didn't really desire to wear that again. And he just knew how to push all the wrong buttons. And so I thought, you know what, I need to start praying for him. And I began to pray for him. And you know what God did? God didn't really change him so much as he changed me. Eventually, this man, Steve, God did do some things in his life, but he eventually flew out to Georgia and was one of my ushers in our wedding when Megan and I got married. And I remember after I got married, the service over, we're hugging, he's crying, and he's like, Tim, thank you for being a good friend. And I'm thinking to myself, I was not a good friend. There's no goodness of me. That's God. That's God through the times of praying. God changed my heart through prayer. There's somebody maybe that you have a hard time with. You need to put them on your prayer list. There's somebody that might have a little bit of a root of bitterness that's getting in there. You need to put them on your prayer list. One of the greatest ways to show love to someone is to have a consistent prayer life for them. So we need to pray with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. One of the things God had me do this year in the month of March is I prayed through all of my Facebook friends. Now, I have over 650 Facebook friends. I don't know if I have that many in real life, but I have that many friends. And the Lord for several weeks, the Lord's like, I want you to pray through this. Pray through all these people. And I'm like, man, that's a lot of people. But yeah, I can do this. And I started getting into it, and it was a lot harder than I thought. There's people that I know very well that I'm very close to. I knew what they're like. There's some people that I'm friends with. I've never even met them. you know, they've heard online or whatever a message and things. And so I don't know some of these people, and I'm praying through, and I really sought to pray through every single one of them. And I got to one lady that has had a great impact in my life, Kathy Heyer. And Kathy Heyer passed away last year. And I get to her name, and I'm like, okay, Lord, now what? How do I pray with this? I mean, she's gone. She's with you. And the Lord then impressed upon my heart, pray for the things that she was praying for. And she was a prayer warrior. I know that Kathy Heyer prayed for my pastor. So I knew that I needed to pray for Pastor Rogers. I know that she prayed for Megan and I for several things. And she prayed for others. She prayed for her children and her grandchildren. And I just began, Lord, okay, what else? What other things could she have been praying for? And the Lord really taught me and worked on me with some of those things. But it was hard to get through all 650 names of that. But, it's one of the best things I've done this year. It really ministered to my own heart. You know, prayer, it does minister to others, but, how it draws you nearer to the Lord. How it ministers to you. And so pray, as Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and supplication of the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Someone said, you can work without praying, but you cannot pray without working. True praying requires strength. There is opposition. There is difficulty. If it were easy, more Christians would be doing it. But it's difficult. It's like a fish swimming upstream. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And so he says, when thou prayest, have that time. But then there's a place. What's the place? Enter into thy closet. So there's a place that God wants to meet with you. There is a specific place. It's a special place that God wants to meet with you. Mark 1:35, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, this is Jesus, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. There's somewhere that God wants to meet with you. Maybe you already know it. Maybe there's an easy chair in your house. You know that's your place. Maybe there is a physical closet that you can go to. Maybe it's your car. For me, I think for my lifetime, my prayer closet has been my car. and the Lord's used that. And I'm in different prayer closets all throughout the year. But there is a place that God wants you to meet with Him. He has an appointment with you tomorrow. I don't know what time that appointment is, but you probably do. I don't know where that place is, but you probably do. There's a place, there's a time that God has an appointment with you to pray. Leonard Ravenhill said, what a man is in his prayer closet, that he is and no more. He went on to say, no man is greater than his prayer life. And I truly believe that. No man is greater than his prayer life. My greatest strength is prayer. My greatest weakness is prayer, is the lack of prayer. Everything hinges on it. My whole ministry hinges on prayer. This church ministry, it hinges on prayer. Our whole lives hinge upon prayer. And so we need to get to that place of prayer, that prayer closet. But then he says, and when thou hast shut thy door. Now we see this attention that we need to have. You see, again, it's easy to be distracted. It's easy to let other things come in. And you've got to shut the door. You've got to eliminate the distractions. Just spend that time. And again, I'm not talking about an hour, 2 hours. Maybe for some of us, that's what it is. But 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes could change your life. Get that, spend that time of attention. Close the door. You see, we need to be wholehearted when we pray. When's the last time you begged God for something? That you really needed Him for something? When's the last time you have been in awe of God having answered prayer? This aspect of attention. God wants to do some great things. I thought I'd save this for Wednesday. The Lord's kind of putting it on my heart now. But the greatest week of my life so far was going to Ambassador Baptist College in the beginning of January. In December, the president of the college had texted me, and he says, Tim, do you have this week open in your schedule to preach with Dwight Smith? And I thought to myself, oh no, not another tent meeting. And, you know, we just finished that thing. And I said, well, yes, I do. I said, what's this for? And he says, I want you to come and preach for opening revival at Ambassador Baptist College. Now, Ambassador Baptist College is located in Lattimore, North Carolina. It's out in the sticks. All right. The population's 450. And it's not a big school, about 150, 175 students. It's not really well known. But, you know, that's where I graduated. That's where Dwight Smith graduated from. And for me personally, the spiritual level of the school is just so high. It is some of the best Christianity I have seen. And so to go there to preach the opening revival, and I was an evangelist major, and some of my evangelist major friends thought, you know, hey, someday maybe I'll get to preach opening revival. I never aspired to that because I never thought I would ever be asked. And so to be asked of that's like the greatest honor that Ambassador could give, and then to preach with Dwight Smith. Now, Dwight Smith is one of the best preachers I know. The hand of God is upon his life. It's not just that he's a good preacher, it's that he's a good Christian. He's a better Christian than he is a preacher. And during the week, I would preach in the morning. He'd preach at night. And one night he said, there's some things that are going, you may hear some bad things about me on the internet. He says, don't believe it. He says, I'm far worse than that. And I amen at that point. I mean, I said it out loud. I'm like, amen. And, you know, because I'm like, yeah, I understand we are worse than what people think that we are. But you know, anything good in us is of God. And so God was working in this meeting this week. But in my, you know, my estimation, Dwight's done it several times, done the opening revival. You know, the school is here and to me, I'm like down here. But as an evangelist, God's called me to not be a thermometer, but to be a thermostat, that I'm going to set the temperature. And that very first service, I'm up on Monday morning, and God's got to use me. God's got to take me from down here all the way up here to set that temperature for the week. And that day, the whole week to me, I felt like I was a little boy with a plastic bat in my hand, and I'm going into the major leagues, and here comes a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, and there's no way I'm going to hit this thing. And yet, here's my Heavenly Father. He grabs, comes behind me, he puts his hands on mine, he swings that bat, and just hits it solid. And that was what that week was to me. And the week, God was impressing upon my heart to have special prayer times. And so Thursday night and Friday night, I led in two prayer times at the college. At 6 o'clock, there's probably, I don't know, 50 to 75 people in these prayer times. Some of the faculty and staff were there. And I would pray, how do you want us to pray today, Lord? And so one of the first things we did was talk about his character, and just all of us stayed together and just thanking God and praising God for his character. The next night, we took scripture, some of our favorite scriptures about God and his character. And that was such a blessed time. Because those students, I mean, they're Bible college students, they have a passion for God's word. And it was just a wonderful time there in prayer. And the Lord worked in some powerful ways that week. One of the things God did with me is I had to be dead to self, probably greater than I've had to experience before. That it wasn't about me, it wasn't about my reputation or anything. I spoke in an evangelist class, and I'm thinking to myself, I should be the student, not the teacher. And I taught this evangelist class, but the Lord wanted me to tell about some times where I have failed royally. And it was embarrassing. And I wouldn't want, you know, I don't want to, you know, tell everybody about it. And I'm praying about this, and God says, you need to talk about that. And I'm like, Lord, I don't want to talk about that. And he says, it's not about you. And so I had to be dead to self. And the Lord had this evangelist class, and he wanted me to end early. And so we ended about 10 minutes early, and I said, let's go to prayer. Let's just spend the rest of the time praying. Half the class dropped to their knees. God had moved in on that evangelist class. We got to the service, and Brother Beal got up, and he says, we just had a time of prayer in the class that was just tremendous. And I preached some messages, and as I do at the men's meeting, the Lord wanted me to have a time of the students praying over the staff. And I have a time in the men's meeting that we host in November to have the church people, or the men, to pray over their pastors. And so the Lord put that on my heart. Well, this is a college. You've got time, you know, you got schedules and things and something, and they, you know, this, Lord, I don't even know how they're going to respond if I do this. I mean, this is a complete interruption of the day. And yet the Lord's just like, Tim, it's not about you. It's about me. And just trust me. And so I ended the chapel service, my time of preaching on time. But then I transitioned into the students praying over the teachers. And I started talking about the teachers and what they go through. And a lot of times the students are just give from the teachers. They never give back. They don't minister to them. And we had a time of prayer that was just so special. And of course, people have tears and things. But God did a great work in that time of prayer that we had with the students over the faculty and staff. Everybody was being prayed for, from the janitor all the way to the president of the college, was being prayed for by the students. And it was just tremendous. God had moved in on that week. And I told Megan, I don't know if it was Thursday or Friday, but I said, when do we say it? When do we say that this is revival? Because the spirit of the school is just so sweet. Everything just unity was just amazing. And the students were so tender. God was just dominating the services. And several of the students came to me and said that this was the best opening revival they've ever had. And I've been a student there many years. To me, it was the best one. Why? Because God had just taken over. God was doing some great things. And one of those things in the prayer times that we had, Friday night, I said, well, we could pray over a lot of stuff. We could do a lot of things. We could pray over the sound system. We could pray over the video and the internet and the messages that are going to be going out all across the world. I said, we could pray over the piano. We could pray over the pulpit. We could pray over the altar. Those who are going to be coming forward tonight and making decisions. And I said, we could pray for impossible things and things that only God can do that you just think, this is so impossible. And I said, we could pray over those things. And we didn't do any of that. We did some other things, but that Monday, so the week of meetings was Monday through Friday, and then the next Monday they had chapel and they had a testimony time, and one girl got up and she had three pages that she had written out. She wasn't going to be able to go through all three of those, but she said during those prayer times, Brother Schmidt had talked about praying for impossible requests, and to me the most impossible thing in my life is for my dad to get saved. It's just impossible. And I thought, you know what, God, I'm going to be praying for this, and my dad's going to get saved. I'm going to pray for this. And Saturday, out of the blue, her dad calls her and says, honey, I just got saved. Isn't that incredible? You know, and I thought that week, I'm like, you know, I mean, it's a college. It's not quite the same as a church. And I'm thinking, Lord, we haven't seen anybody get saved. And there was a fruit right there. And God did some great things. The offering was another one where the students, again, about 150, I mean, college students, it's getting an offering out of them. It's getting blood out of a turnip. I mean, they don't have much. And so the goal of the offering Brother Beal had was $4,000, so $2,000 to Dwight Smith and $2,000 to us. And so Friday he gave me a check of $2,000. I'm like, oh, such a blessing. Well, Monday, Brother Beal calls me up and he says, Tim, he says, God's done a great work in our student body this week. There's something that took place that we've never had before in all my 12 years as president here. I'm like, what's that? And he says, the offering wasn't $4,000 this week. He says, the offering was $8,200. He says, we've got another $2,100 check we're going to send to you. And he says, I've never seen it. The students give so much as they have this week. It was God. God had touched that place. And what was it revolved around? Prayer. Revivals, they're started in prayer. And again, my heart is just burdened because I wonder if we're drifting away from that and we get discouraged like this morning and we're getting away from prayer when these things ought to drive us more to prayer. As we hear things about our country, it ought to drive us more to prayer. I believe God's trying to get our attention and get our attention in this matter of prayer. And so we have these aspects of a time, of a place of attention. And then he says, and pray to thy Father, which is in secret. We have this aspect of affection. You know, prayer is not just asking and receiving, though it is that. Prayer is also worship. It's time to just spend time with Him, to exalt Him, to sing to Him, even if you can't sing. God doesn't mind whether you're on key or off key. Get a hymnal. Don't take one here, but get a hymnal. Open up those songs, and maybe you don't know the tune of the song, so just read them out. There's sometimes I don't know what's on my heart to pray. I'll open up a hymnal, and I'll look at some of those songs, and yep, that's what's on my heart. They knew how to describe it. Now, we've already got a hymnal in our Bible, which is the book of Psalms. You could take Psalm 8 to the Lord. O Lord, my Lord, how excellent is your name above all the earth. Thou hast set thy glory above the heavens. That's a prayer. And many scriptures there in Psalms are their prayers to God. We can worship Him. And one of the things I really desire in my own life personally is that I would be good at worshiping God. That I want that to be a main thing in my life. A.W. Tozer, it was said that he would spend 2 hours in worship before he ever went to pray. Yeah, he was so in awe of God. And that's where I want to live. I mean, there's times I get there, but I want to live there. I want to abide there. So this aspect of affection. We have this great Heavenly Father, but then the aspect of reward. And pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Again, God wants to answer your prayers. Not just mine. He wants to use your prayer life. I mentioned it this morning, and I think in Sunday school, that my parents bought me a brand new Bible, and I started reading it on my own, and then I started making a prayer list. And I didn't tell anybody about it. And God began to answer my prayers. Wow, that was eye-opening. You know, it wasn't just my mom and dad saying them I have answers to prayer. It was God doing it through me. God using my prayers. And God wants to do that through you. There's things that He wants to show you this year. And again, I believe this could be the greatest year you've ever had in prayer. There's things that God wants to do through your prayer life. When's the last time you saw an answer to prayer? Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God is in the great and mighty things business. When's the last time God's answered something that you just were amazed? You were in awe of God doing. Psalm 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry. This matter of prayer, do you love to pray? The hypocrites love to pray, but they love to pray for all the wrong reasons. We're not to be as them, but we're to pray and have a consistent prayer life. But thou, when thou prayest, the time, enter into thy closet. Where is it that God wants to meet with you? And when thou hast shut thy door, eliminate the distractions. Spend that 5 or 15 minutes with God without any distractions. And pray to thy Father which seeth in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. God wants to do some great things through your prayer life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I think sometimes we can be strong on instructing in prayer, but weak on implementing how to pray or implementing these lessons on prayer. And so, Lord, I'm asking that tonight or tomorrow morning, that when we wake up, that Your Spirit would just touch our hearts, that we would be drawn to a place of prayer. Lord, would You increase us in this area? Would You do those great and mighty things that we know not? Lord, use every individual here tonight. Use their prayer life. From the youngest to the oldest. Lord, may You teach us to pray. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege that we have to pray. And pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. Pianist begins to play. God's spoken to your heart. The altar's open.